Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We continue our journey throughout the Netherlands with visits to the towns of Marken and Monnikendam. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is July 27, 2013, and we are on day three of our travel article. You can find it on pages 38, 39, and 40 in your advanced magazine. The title is The Netherlands Out of Amsterdam. And this travel article has been written by our very own Naomi Beeshabel, and glad to have Naomi here for all 3 days of our radio programs, and very glad that you wrote this, Naomi.
Thanks. It was really fun. Well, of course, it was fun to be there, but it was also fun to write the article. I will say, Amsterdam is probably the most popular destination for tourists in the Netherlands. And so if you do go there, you'll have a nice time. And I would recommend renting a bike so you can travel the streets. Do your homework, though. This city has a bit of a dark side. One of the things that makes it most famous is that marijuana use is legal there. You have to be a little careful about what shops you enter.
Yeah, there are certain parts of town that you really want to avoid.
Yes.
And there's some activities and trades there that are illegal in most parts of the world. So.
Right.
Not only the shops that you want to avoid, but it tends to attract some people that maybe you don't want to be bumping into that much.
And I think that's part of the reason why it's nice to visit it, and I highly recommend spending a couple of hours there during the day. I don't know if I would hang out there too long, though. There's so many other really gorgeous parts of this country that it seems to me like a little bit of a waste to hang out in Amsterdam too long.
It's almost misleading in a way that the Netherlands is best known for, you know, Amsterdam,
right.
But actually it's just a small part of what the country really is, and it's actually a very beautiful pastoral country.
Yes.
So we shouldn't just judge it by Amsterdam. It's actually Amsterdam would be the anomaly when you take a look at the entire country.
The exception, the sort of unusual part.
Yeah. All right. Amanda Young-Appear is also here for day three. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me back. I've really enjoyed this article, perhaps because my background is also in Dutch culture in my family, and it just brings back a lot of memories of my own visit to Holland when I was younger. And I really enjoyed biking along the canals and just seeing the lovely houses and the water. It's very, very peaceful.
These Dutch names are very distinctive, Beeshabel and Young-Appear. And in fact, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, right? What is the correct pronunciation if I were in the Netherlands?
Of my name would be Beeshabel.
Oh.
Pretty close.
Beeshabel.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty close.
Not too bad. And Amanda, am I pronouncing it right?
Quite close, Bill. Mine is Young-Appear.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not too bad. So very unique. There are several very unique names.
And some pretty funny ones, actually, in the Netherlands, because basically some other people came along back in history and said, none of you people have last names. You need family names. And so a lot of the Dutch people were not convinced that this system would stick around.
Mm-hmm.
So they told them some pretty silly things for their family names. And so you do get a lot of Dutch family names that mean very, very silly things. And so you have, you know, so-and-so from this place or so-and-so who's son of that. But you also have something like, you know, mud farmer or whatever.
Or just old shoe.
Right.
Yeah. Or something
very
like that.
Silly.
Bill Old Shoe.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
They were having some fun, but it stuck.
And then later they're like, oops, they're taking us seriously here.
Yeah.
They're writing it down in the official document.
Exactly.
Old shoe.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's very interesting. The language is quite interesting, and it's an amazing history. The other thing I'm amazed at is during the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, the Dutch explorers, it was just amazing how they actually went around the world, so many different places, especially here
in Asia.
It's hard to believe that the Dutch had such a strong navy 500 years ago, and that these guys were getting on ships and going 10,000 miles to the other side of the earth.
Yeah, I feel adventurous for moving over to Asia. But really, I mean, I look at my ancestors and think, my goodness, on this little dangerous ship, and they traveled across the world. It's incredible.
Yeah. All right. Well, we even have several Dutch forts here on Isla Formosa.
Yeah.
So, and I would recommend that to our listeners. If you haven't had a chance, make sure you go see some of the forts, like Zeelandia down in Tainan.
Yeah.
Or even one up by Dansway.
Actually, a Dutch person was the first person to discover New Zealand. Mm. But he was looking for Australia, so he carried on sailing. So the sea between New Zealand and Australia is actually named after that explorer. His name was Abel Tasman.
Oh.
Yeah, so there
Abel
you go.
Abel Tasman?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
There you go.
The island of Tasmania.
Oh, possibly. Mm. I'm not sure about that history.
So this goes back to what we talked about last week about Dutch people being very practical. You know, they just sort of say, well, this makes sense, so let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. All right. Well, what does make sense is for us to get into our reading. So let's have our first one for today. Turn to page 40, and it will be the left column.
A heritage town. On the second to last day of my journey, my father brought me to see where he grew up. As a boy, he used to bike along the windy dike until he came to Market, where his family's housekeeper, who, like some present-day residents, still wore the traditional costume, lived. My dad would visit her at her home, which was built on stilts to guard against flooding. We crossed over the Beatrix Drawbridge, named for the Queen Mother, and found ourselves pulled into shops that offered delicious blocks of cheese, colorfully striped cloth, and lessons on how to carve wooden shoes, called klompen. My father recounted his own experience of having to wear them with thick socks during the winter. We rambled along the quaint streets until we came to the old church, which featured model ships hanging from the ceiling. Down the lane, we stepped into a little museum to watch a film about Market and see scale models of life as it was in the past. Finally, we enjoyed a lunch of, what else? Fish beside the wharf.
Okay, this is the third day of this article written by Naomi. And in fact, there's a picture of our writer up there at the top of page 40. Where are you?
That's actually in Giethoorn, the place where we visited yesterday. Mm. It was so beautiful, just above a canal. Sorry, the picture had to get cut off there, but it was beautiful.
Okay, well, today we visit a heritage town. How do we start, Amanda?
Well, we learned that this is on the second to last day of Naomi's journey, and she's with her father, and he brought her to see the place where he grew up.
Okay.
So in this area, just north of Amsterdam, we actually hit on this yesterday. We talked about how just across Markermeer Lake is the former island of Marke, which is now a peninsula. So this is the area just from the island across that causeway that we mentioned to the mainland. That's the area where my dad was born and spent his early years.
Okay. All right. Now, as a boy, he used to bike along the windy dike until he came to Marken, and then we see where the housekeeper was there, right?
Right. So she used to come regularly, help babysit, help cook, and so on. And she wasn't a live-in housekeeper. She just worked closely with the family and lived nearby. It's funny because there's actually a signpost in the town where my father was born that has walking distance to this place or that place. You know how usually we say, oh, 1 kilometer to, you know, whatever place. But there it says 1 hour walking until. And so it was 1 hour walking distance between these towns.
Well, we talked a lot about biking, but I think people do a lot of walking there too, like extreme walking even, where they will walk 1 hour or 2. Whereas in many other cities in North America and Asia, people will just drive.
Perhaps, but I think this signpost just predated cars, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, what about this housekeeper?
Well, what was very interesting about this housekeeper was that she still wore the traditional costume. And the traditional costume is a very intricate costume as well, isn't it, Naomi?
Well, we have a picture there at the bottom of the page that gives you a bit of an idea of it. And this is of a child, but the adult version looks quite similar. They actually would dress boys and girls the same until they were about 5 years old. So there are some old paintings, and you don't know if it's a little boy or a little girl because they're wearing the exact same thing. But grown women mostly wear long black skirts and some striped cloth, and the stripes can vary depending on your family history, and then like a lace cap. And this might be the most iconic of the Dutch costume, along with those wooden shoes.
Kind of reminds me, there used to be a brand of paints in America, little Dutch boy paints.
Mm.
Yeah, there actually was a whole brand named after that, and it had a little drawing of a little Dutch boy.
And I think there's another product, maybe a medical product, that still has a lady wearing the Dutch hat on it. But
yeah,
you can look around, see if you can find it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'll try and think of what that was, but I know what you're talking about. So now they've... Today, did you still see people with a traditional costume?
I did, and they're unusual now. It's not so common. Most people don't wear it day to day, but I did see one lady in particular still wearing the traditional costume, and I asked her if I could take a picture, but she didn't want me to, so I said, okay, sorry, no problem. But you can still see it. And what's fun is we talked last week about Queen's Day. Of course, now there will be a King's Day beginning next year. But that day is a special holiday in the Netherlands. And on that day, this town, everyone dresses up in the traditional costume.
If I was there visiting, I might even do that myself. Well, your father, the housekeeper, grew up or was living in Marken, and your father would go visit her at her home, but there's something unique about her home.
Right. Her house was built on stilts, and that means that there were just large poles underneath the house to raise it up above the water. And this was done to guard it against flooding because, again, remember we talked yesterday as well how the land has been or they've been reclaiming the land back from the water.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they need to be prepared for emergencies if there is any flooding. So that's why it's up on stilts. Now, we continue moving on.
Right. So me and my father crossed over the Beatrix drawbridge, and there's actually a picture of that just below our text in the center. And, of course, this bridge is named for the Queen Mother that we also talked about last week.
Okay. All right. So this drawbridge, it's kind of funny. They can pull it up.
Right. Right. Yeah. In case a boat needs to pass underneath. Mm-hmm. There's actually several of these drawbridges, and they're all named after the different Dutch queens. And there's even a small one named after Maxima.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be pretty neat to see these drawbridges. Very, very, charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found themselves where?
Well, they found themselves pulled into shops. And the reason they were pulled into or drawn or attracted into the shops was because these shops offered delicious blocks of cheese.
And they actually will give demonstrations on how the cheese is made, so you can have sort of a lesson in cheese making.
What are the top one or two types of cheese in the Netherlands?
I would say the two most famous ones. The first one is called Edam cheese, and the other one is Gouda. In Dutch, you'd say Gouda.
Oh, okay. All right. Then there also were colorfully striped cloth and lessons on how to do what?
How to carve wooden shoes. Now, a lot of people, when they hear Holland, they think wooden shoes right away. The Dutch term for them is klompen.
Klompen. All right. And this is interesting because we think of it like as being so old-fashioned. However, Naomi's father wore them.
That's right. He recounted his own experience of having to wear them with thick socks during the winter. And so recount means to describe back to the particular time that he had to wear them, or just recounting and telling Naomi the story about how he had to wear them in the winter time when he was young.
Right.
Wooden shoes.
That's right.
What's up with that?
My father's not that old.
Why? Why wooden shoes?
Well, actually, we went to this demonstration where the guy showed us how to carve them, and he said the same thing. He said, so this wooden shoe expert, why would you wear wooden shoes? He says, well, first of all, they're practical. They're very hardy. So, you know, they don't get destroyed very easily. They last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, they're orthopedic. They have good support for the arch of your foot, and you can have them easily custom made. And third, he said, look how sexy they look.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Okay. Do you have a pair of wooden shoes?
I don't anymore.
Oh.
I did as a child, but I don't have any full-grown ones right now.
Yeah, we had some when we were young as well. And actually, my parents still have them hanging on the outside wall of their house right now.
Are they comfortable?
They're not bad, and my mom actually still wears them in the garden.
Really?
Yeah.
My first thought would be, man, these things would be really uncomfortable.
But think about it. Better than sandals to work in the garden in the mud, you know.
Yeah.
It protects your foot. They're comfortable. And
that's really amazing. Wow.
But actually, Bill, if you don't mind, we'll turn back to page 39 because when I was visiting this little shop and this wooden shoe expert with his, you know, sexy shoes, he was talking about a certain tradition that takes place in Marken.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And what is that?
Well, it's a romantic custom, or actually there's several romantic customs associated with klompen. It says there's a tradition in Marken of carving a design into a pair of klompen. And according to one wooden shoe expert, a hopeful suitor can leave them outside his beloved's door. If she has taken them inside by morning, it means she'll marry you. And what if the klompen remain on the doorstep? No problem, he laughed. Just try the next house.
That's Dutch humor for you.
But I sure hope those shoes aren't sitting outside by the next morning.
Ooh, practical.
Depressing. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if you were wearing wooden shoes or not as you rambled along the quaint streets, were you?
It would have been noisier if we'd been wearing wooden shoes. But no, we rambled. In other words, we kind of moseyed along. We took our time. We looked around. I was taking a lot of pictures, and my father was waiting patiently for me. And so we wandered around those quaint streets.
Okay. And they came upon?
They came upon an old church. And the interesting thing about this church, it featured model ships hanging from the ceiling.
Okay. All right.
Right, because this culture is so closely tied to the fishing industry, the water levels, and so on. They really care about the water.
Yeah.
And so the church, which you can see right there on page 40 in that lovely picture, you see the steeple rising in the center. Inside there were model ships hanging from the ceiling, and I was so surprised.
Wow.
I'd never seen anything like that before.
That really looks – that's charming on the outside, and I would like to see those ships inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the lane
– they stepped into a small museum, and in the museum they watched a film about Marken, and they saw scale models of life as it was in the past.
Okay. Now – I mean, imagine, was this like a small place?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Tiny.
All right. But that's really pretty cool that they had a film about the town and some of the history.
Actually, Holland has a lot of small models representing different parts of life. There's even a famous amusement park in Holland called Madurodam, which takes all of Dutch life and puts it into small models.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Okay. All right. And then finally...
Well, we enjoyed a lunch of what else? Fish, of course, beside the wharf. So there's a beautiful area of town with all the sailboats, and you can sit there right on the water, once again, eat outside. And, of course, my father, he ordered something called kibbeling, which is basically all the bits of fish that are left over, and they just sort of fry them up, and he loves it.
And what fish is, like, the most popular there?
I think herring. Traditionally, right?
Yeah.
Very traditional. My dad loves herring, especially salted herring.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And they do something called pickled herring, where they preserve this fish in a certain way. And the traditional way to eat it is you take this fish by the tail and you tilt your head back, dip it into your mouth, and just eat everything off of the fish skeleton in one go.
For hearty souls to be doing something like that. All right, let's do this. Let's have our final reading of this article.
some personal history. Next, we were off to my father's birthplace, Monnikendam. Guarded by a 600-year-old Gothic church, Monnikendam was founded by monks in the 12th century. The city is now relatively quiet, but in its heyday, it was a bustling port. My father and I sat down for refreshments across from the old way station and facing the bell tower, built in 1591. Sure enough, when the hour changed, a carillon of 15 bells began to chime, and tiny wood-carved figures moved to the music. As we drove back that afternoon through the outskirts of Amsterdam, I realized how much I'd gained from venturing beyond this famous city. Wonderful experiences, fulfilling relationships, and a new appreciation for Dutch culture.
Okay, we're on our last section of our travel article, The Netherlands Out of Amsterdam. And this is written by Naomi, and she's recounting her visit to the Netherlands last summer. And it's been great to go off the beaten path, get out of the big city of Amsterdam and go see some of these quaint villages. And we were just in Marken, and her father is showing her around there. And now today, or at least in this section, where are you headed?
To my father's birthplace, Monnikendam. And again, this is only about a 10 or 15-minute drive from Marken across that causeway we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so we headed back to that town, and it's very beautiful. First of all, the first thing you come across is a gorgeous church.
Right. In fact, it's a Gothic church, 600 years old. Gothic meaning the style of architecture used on it. It's an old style that uses stone, very high ceilings, and lots of decorations, which would really stand out.
So what Naomi is writing here is that the town of Monnikendam is guarded by this church, very strong, almost acting like a fortress.
Well, it's the first thing you come across when you get to the outskirts of town. And so there's this big church sort of like, okay, welcome to town. Mm-hmm. We're watching you. Well, it's funny, though, because actually the name of the town comes from the monks that built this city in the 12th century.
Okay. So would that be like a spin on the word monk?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, the Dutch version. Yeah.
All right. Well, but now the city is relatively quiet today, but
in its heyday, it was a bustling port. Now, when we talk about something being in its heyday, when it was popular or had a lot of success. So back in the day when it was very popular, it was a very busy and prosperous port.
Okay. A center of trade.
Yeah. All right. So you say here that you and your father, you sat down for some refreshments across from what?
The old way station. So right at the port, there was this big, big building where everything had to come in for taxing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They had to weigh everything and check how much did you bring in and how much are we going to charge you to sell it in this country. And so that old way station is now a restaurant.
Okay. Mm. All right. So here you were sitting near the way station and you're across from the church. You're facing the bell tower.
Right. I have a picture of it right there at the bottom of the page. You see the tower reaching up and the way station is actually right on the right-hand side of the picture.
All right. And this is really cool because then sure enough, when the hour changed,
a carillon of 15 bells began to chime, and a carillon is a set of bells. So as the hour changes, you hear these 15 bells begin to ring out across the town, and there are tiny wood-carved figures that move to the music of the bells.
That's really neat.
It's so pretty. It plays a little song, actually. And the figures sort of come out of the tower and do a little dance and go back in. And there's an angel, and he blows his trumpet, and it's very pretty.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to do something here before we finish our last paragraph. Let's have our feature and we'll finish with that last little section.
Hi, Steve. Did you just get off work?
Yes, it was a good day. Yesterday, you were telling me about some of the places you were planning on seeing on your trip to the Netherlands. What else did your friend Naomi recommend?
Oh, she just raved about Gisthorne. She said it was the Venice of the Netherlands.
Now that sounds fascinating.
It's a quaint town where some of the houses still have thatched roofs and canals that run throughout, with footbridges that straddle the water.
You know, I think I've seen photographs of that place. It looks so charming.
And Naomi suggested a few cafes with some al fresco dining to watch the sunset.
I guess you'll have a good view of the sunset anywhere in the Netherlands, since it's so flat there.
It's quite fascinating how they've been able to keep the waters at bay. Much of the country is below sea level, but there is a system of dikes and polders that prevent flooding.
Was there anything else she suggested?
The town of Marken, where her father grew up. They have a drawbridge there and several shops where I can buy wooden shoes.
How about if I give you some money? Can you buy a pair for me?
Sure, I'll be happy to do that, Steve.
Thanks, Carol. Good to see you again, and have fun on your trip.
I will. See you when I get back.
Okay, we finish here, and Naomi's talking about driving back that afternoon. Her trip is coming to an end. I guess she'll be flying out the next day, and they're going back through the outskirts of Amsterdam, and you have had some reflections along the way.
Right, because here we were sort of back on the edges of this famous city. And again, I thought, oh, I'm glad I didn't spend too much time in this city.
Yeah. You got out and you actually saw some real parts of the country and some great sights, wonderful experiences. And I really like this. This is something that's missing on most trips, fulfilling relationships.
I know I have an advantage by having family there already, but it seems to me, in my experience, most of the Dutch people are very, very hospitable. And if you find a way to possibly stay with someone there, either through mutual friends or couch surfing or something like that, I would highly recommend it.
Are you planning on going back to your homeland soon?
I hope so. I would like to go again one more time, you know, in my lifetime. And sooner rather than later. I think doing this article has just reminded me of that I should do it.
Okay. Well, I've enjoyed this article. And we've got one more article here in July. So listeners, make sure you listen in on that article. It's going to be a good one. But before we sign off, we have a special Dutch sign-off.
Yes, we do. In Dutch, we don't just say goodbye. We like to say zaijian like you would in Chinese. And so we know we'll see you next week. So instead of saying goodbye, we would say tot ziens.
That's right. Tot ziens.
Tot ziens.
Mm-hmm.